Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight, and it's my birthday.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Starlight and Campbell. This time is gonna be the last time. And that's the fourth song from our third studio album, Starlight One, set for release on the 1st of September and available to pre-order now.
And the single, the lead single,
Saving Me,
from the album has been released today exclusively on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Now, if you've read any of her missives over the past few weeks or months or whatever, and our general talk, because I did a blog post on our Substack, vibes.starlight-campbell.com, if you want to look it up, talking about whether to release on iTunes, not to, whether to release on streaming sites, which was very popular, actually. And, we've decided not going to put it on Spotify. We're not going to put it on iTunes. We're not going to put it on any of the just the download-only, non-paying sites. And that's why we've chosen Bandcamp, because it's the home of independent artists, really.
Yeah.
Radiohead are on there, Smile are on there, Peter Gabriel's on there. There's lots of really, really big, you know, big-name people on there. They pay you fairly for what you do. You can stream, for a few times, and then you have to buy. You've got to buy the record, and then you can stream as much as you want, and download it, and do it, you know. And it's a really cool, cool platform.
It's like a record shop. You can go in, you can have a listen for a few times, and then if you like it, then you can buy something. You don't have to buy it. But what I like, it's like an online record store where you go in and you can test stuff out. But it's like a community. It's like not going to a supermarket is like getting mass-produced food that's homogenized. It's going to like a bespoke bakery and going and trying out a couple of little taster cakes and go,
that's
might
a very
have that
good, that's a good way of describing it, actually. It really is. And you're absolutely correct. Yeah. It's very much like that.
Yeah. Because who wants to like 50 cakes that are all being produced and packaged in plastic when you can go in and get some handmade cakes? And this is what we're doing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing, of course, is last week we had the vinyl masters turn up, the test pressings, I should say, turn up here. And we listened to them, and they're absolutely amazing. I've got to say, I wept.
It was a spiritual.
With joy, because this sounds so good. Oh. Now, you know, I'm hypercritical of our own work. You know, seems that it drives us mad.
Yep.
You know, I'm there, and I'm messing for days, weeks, to try and get stuff right. And, you know, and when you hear it, because we do mix for vinyl. So when I'm mixing a record, I mix it for vinyl. John Astley does special vinyl masters, which costs us extra. It then goes to Miles Showell, who in this particular case took some time off recutting the Beatles collection, believe it or not, at Abbey Road in London. He did the record, and then that was shipped off in a refrigerated container, because it's a wax lacquer, believe it or not, even now, to Optical Media in Germany. Optical Media then cut it onto or pressed it onto a metal, what it's known as, and then they sent us a test pressing, so we listened to them. So that's it.
And do you know what? Sometimes, though, I am always worried when it comes to the test pressing side, because, you know, when you put so much into it, and you kind of go, oh, I just hope they're okay.
Well, they sound fantastic. There's a lot of air in them. So
yeah,
if you like
true.
Vinyl.
But every step of the way, it's a trust process, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Working with this is one of the few times when we're actually working outside of the you and I, really.
Yeah.
And so there's John and Miles and Optimal, and it's like a humbling honour.
But when you, of course, the thing is with when John asks his master, he sends us so we can listen to them. But when Miles cuts them, you can't listen to the wax master.
No.
So you've got to trust him, you know? Yep. And of course we do.
And make sure that the fridge unit is cold
enough. Absolutely, absolutely. There's more air in them. They sound fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, onwards
to
this track. And this is the fourth track from our record.
This time.
Yeah.
It's going to be the
very
last
deep
time.
Voice. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you sound very sexy, actually.
Well, I was trying to just get a bit more darkness, and we had our first review in last week, and from Andy Snipper from
Music News
of
UK,
course. Yeah,
a biggie,
very very big record. We've got 5 stars, which is amazing.
Five.
And he was saying that the album's a lot darker, and the lyrics are more complex and deeper, and they really are, you know.
Yeah.
This track has that depth to it, you know. Of course, it's a bit of a love affair, but we worked very hard on the, because the chord sequence is actually quite a basic one, but we tried to substitute chords and do different things with the bass and the keyboards. And on this one, I did actually most of the synths on it. In fact, I did all the synths on it, I think. Except for the profit that you did, of course, because I can't play keyboards, which requires more than 3 fingers.
Yeah.
So I did the sequence, the arpeggiate, and the bass, and that wah-wah-wah-wah-wah line.
I love that.
Which has got, of course, the fantastic portamento, and I used the Moog at Matriarch. And a portamento, what it means, it doesn't, if you plus two notes. They don't go do do. They go do do. So if you wow. So I put that on. It's some old school shit, you know.
Yeah.
And this track also features the only guitar solo on the album. Which is
I love that, by the way. It's really, it's beautiful. It's like ding 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 ding.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, it was
boom boom boom. Because your solos always speak. It's like you don't just fret. Whatever, I won't say that word.
You can.
Wank.
Yeah.
But you always speak, you always tell me something when you play solos, and I love that. That's a lot of the time when you come and see us live, I'm usually shouting at you, come on!
Well, I was pissing around with the sounds quite a bit because I wanted something a little bit, I wanted something a little bit different, and I dragged out a pedal that I haven't used for many years now, the Rat Distortion, I got the Rat out, and then stuck a Pog, which is an octave underneath it, and it's sort of got a more of a, and that's a, it's more darker sound, you know. And,
yeah.
But I try and follow the chords and do something a bit melodic. And of course, a lot of the guitars as well, Eventide H3000, which is all that pow at the beginning, which is a massive thing. Of course, that bass, holy shit, it's like amazing. It's like driving and growling at you. You know,
yeah, step
when you were
aside.
Doing it, yeah.
Oh God. Shit. I mean, you could lose half a stone and just sweat just playing that thing because it's like it was full of attitude.
Yeah.
And it's just got to give it some, haven't you, really? And of course, you've got Ugo Danin on drums as well, who's really kicking ass with it. So it was just like, it was for me a very tight fit. I really enjoyed that. That sounds like Tight Fit the Band, but I don't mean it that way.
Lion sleeps tonight.
Terrible, isn't it, that we do that? But that, yeah, so that was so yeah, it was it's this time.
Yeah.
It's what you see is what you get.
Exactly, that's exactly what it's about. And this show tonight is all about Manchester again.
Yeah,
and, we keep featuring Manchester because I think that firstly, you know, Susie's sort of spiritual home is there.
I spent 15 years there.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I was born, you know, in Manchester, essentially, very close to it, about 7 miles out of the centre.
Yeah.
And also, we're playing our only multimedia gig at the Met in Bury, which is amazing. So we're going to be doing all sorts of interesting stuff.
Yeah, we're starting to plan now. So really just want to, if you live in the Greater Manchester area, bring your friends. It's going to be such a special night. Friday the 6th of October. Tickets are on sale now. And I'm working with some of my old colleagues as well, creative colleagues. I can't tell you more, but it's going to be very, very interesting and I'm really excited about it to actually be collaborating with some artists as well. So, yeah, we really hope. So the best thing to do as well is, like, buy your tickets early so we know you're coming, because once the tickets get past a certain point, you'll miss out because it's just going to be multimedia.
We've nearly sold one of the gigs out already.
I know.
Can't tell which one it is.
I know. Very well. I mean, that's. Do you know what the most exciting thing is? You know, when we talk about ticket sales, it's just that we want to see you, and it's we haven't been to the UK for a couple of years, so this is the time to come hang out and meet each other. You know, because we're obviously based in Southern Europe, so we've got a long trek up, and we're in the UK for a couple of weeks and touring as much as we possibly can. So a couple of gigs are acoustic, just because when we're away, we just want to play. So you know, you're not paying all the big venues every night. So we're just wanting to play and hang out with everyone, so with you. So, yeah, we hope to see you on the road. We'll be right back.
of women's clothes, messed around with gender roles, lie my eyes and call me pretty.
James Laid, the title song from their fifth studio album, released on the 1st of November 1993. Holy mother of shit! On the Fontana record label. God. It was a commercial success, charting in the UK, Australia, and the United States, and was used as the theme song for the American Pie film series. The bed is on fire. With a passionate love, the neighbours complain about the noises above, but she only comes when she's on top. So, that's
what
probably
does that
why
mean, then? I'm joking.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh. Wow.
What a lyric.
Yeah, great lyric. That's, what a lyric. Beginning of the song, great.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, because James, when I was living in Manchester, they played when we got the Commonwealth Youth Games. The celebration.
Yeah.
And I remember the whole city, and they were there outside the town hall on the stage, and it was absolutely rammed with people. I was working that day. I was looking after some stilt walkers in the crowd who were like 10 foot high.
You've got to watch those stilt walkers.
It was, but it's like that. Another boy band for me, not quite that I would connect in with, but I really... really like them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the, you know, that I think, you know, Tim Booth, he's actually quite, he's a very charismatic frontman. I went to see him a few times because I was working with a company at the time, Wigwam, the PA hire company. I did some work with them for a few years, and they're great, probably the best PA company in the UK, and I learned an awful lot, you know, from them.
Yeah.
I went to see him and Sit Down, which is a big song,
yeah.
You know. Sit down. You know, great song, you know. And everybody literally in the audience sits down, you know. It's a great thing. But they were formed in 1982.
Gosh.
And had four top 10 hits in the 90s and nine top 10s in the UK albums chart. Amazing. They've sold 25 million records.
That was like, that figure was like, I don't know, 12 years ago as well. So who knows what they've sold now?
Yeah. It's incredible, you know? And the first band in history to turn down an NME front cover. They wanted the music to be as good that people just wanted to get it. I mean, that is amazing.
It is, isn't it? I mean, I think the thing is when you work out about Tim Booth, right, is that he had a near-death experience when he was 21 from childhood liver disease. And that changed his whole perspective. It just completely gave him a wake-up call. And he looked at the world through a completely different set of eyes and interpretation, really. So we're all living in the same environment, but he just looked at it differently. So he was like, he joined this sect. It was like a group come sect formed by John Yar called Life Wave. And it was like a cross between a cult and a monastery. And he used to meditate every day. On the weekends, it was like 16 hours meditation on the weekend. He was celibate, no alcohol, no drugs, and he was a vegetarian.
Blimey.
And he said he felt lucky because it saved his life. I mean, apparently, later on, John Yars got found out that he was actually, you know, sleeping with women in the group, as, you know, and then...
Normally happens.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Tim was just saying, though, he kind of understood that power corrupts, and it does. I mean, I think that's why we have democracy, because you have to have a balance, because if one person's got too much control, humans can't handle it, really. And I think we know that from history. Morrissey loved them as well and thought they were the best band on the planet. So you've got this whole... And they were in the scene, they were signed to Factory, but they didn't really fit with Factory. In fact, they were wearing dresses in the 90s. And when you start to look, you go, actually, they were doing quite a lot of alternative stuff way before everybody else was kind of doing it. And, you know, now, so...
Well, I've been to the rehearsal rooms, and that's the closest I've ever got to them. Cause,
really?
Unusually for Manchester bands, well, these in Elburn, actually, I don't really know anybody sort of connected with them, really, because they're quite out there. But our mate, Ned Raggett, who was an old music reviewer at the time, I think he probably still is, wrote that the album's quieter sound turned out not merely to be a nice way to undercut expectations, but a creative benchmark for the group, arguably their best artistic peak. And I think it was, because, I mean, as soon as I heard that opening line, I thought, holy shit, I'm in for something here. And it's very, very reminiscent of REM to me. It's very REM.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
that
acoustic guitar and all that. And, of course, it's produced by Brian Eno.
Oh, Eno!
He's everywhere, that fella. Absolutely everywhere. And it was recorded at... the first bit was recorded at the drummer, David Benyon Powers' studio, The Windings in Wrexham. Ooh. And then 5 more weeks at Real World Studio in Box in Wiltshire.
Real World.
Yeah, and there we are. And that's
Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, you know, because... I've just looked at this before we started the show, and Tim said that there's a song that they released in 2016 called Nothing But Love. And he said if that had come out in the 90s, it would have been a big hit. But we won't get hits because of ageism. You can't get played on Radio 1 because of your age. But imagine if you can't get played on Radio 1 if you have brown skin. Everybody would be outraged.
To understand, it's exactly what I steal. I went my way into the heart of a crowd. Went my way into the heart of a crowd. I was shocked to find what was allowed. I didn't lose my soul in the crowd. Shots, battle signs. We'll be right back.
magazine, shot by both sides, from their debut studio album, Real Life. And that was released on an LP and cassette in June 1978 on Virgin Records. Peaked at number 41 on the UK singles charts. This is a bloke's band, and I don't know what you've done to me, Simon John Campbell, but ever since we got together, it's like, well, actually, no, before we got together, I did, like, discover Led Zeppelin, even though I used to see Robert Plant down my local when I was a teenager. I never really got the music because I was into dancing. So, okay, move forward. So I know about Nirvana. I know about, like, Led Zeppelin. I know all that emotion and feel. But there's definitely something that's gone on because I love this band. And you are somewhere involved in all this mischief.
Of course I am.
I know.
I am your husband. And I have introduced all this stuff. You see, they're not a bloke's band at all. They're just a good band.
It's different. True.
Right? And the thing is with Magazine is that this first record, I just love this first record. And a couple of weeks ago, three of the weeks, I think we played The Light Pours Out of Me, which is amazing.
I love that song. Yeah.
The bass and everything. Oh, it's just tremendous, you know? And this is a riff that every guitar player in the world had wished had come up with.
Yeah.
Because it is a great riff. It really is. That line, that guitar line. And, of course, I think, actually, it was Pete Shelley who came up with all that.
Really?
It wasn't. Yeah, that's right. Ah. It was not John McGaugh.
Oh, okay.
Because John McGaugh, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it was written by Howard Devoto and Pete Shelley. That's right.
Yeah.
And there's an identical riff that came out on the Buzzcocks record.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it's called Lipstick. And
okay.
Yeah, it was released as a B-side in November 1978, and he got a co-writing credit. So it was actually, so he got, the, he thought it was so good, not only with, used in Shot but by both sides, it was actually done by the Buzzcocks or Pete Shelley, which is really cool, you know.
I can understand that. Some themes that go in lyrics, it's the same. It's like, you know, let's share the love.
And it's just fantastic. I just love the energy. I love the sound.
Well,
you know?
They think it's a post-punk. I keep popping the mic. Post-punk band.
Yeah. Edgy, nervous energy of punk and added elements of art rock.
Now, what is art rock?
Art rock, I think, is something where it is music with an extension. So, you know, when you, it's an artistic extension. Look at David Bowie, and I think his videos were an artistic extension. He did film. It was an artistic extension, you know?
Yeah.
People like Roxy Music, you know, the way that they used to dress, it was an artistic, very theatrical.
Yeah.
Christine and the Queens, and you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We saw Glastonbury. Well, we weren't there. We saw them on iPlayer. But Christine and the Queens, that's art rock, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, because they're actually doing something outside. And that is why I think we've labelled ourselves now art rock and prog rock, because the new record is an extension, you know. You've done the artwork.
I have. If you haven't seen the artwork yet, right, go on to our website, starlight-campbell.com. It's taken me a couple of weeks. It's bonkers, and it's just so much fun. But there's definitely a deep meaning with it, by the way. So it's not just there for their sake. There's definitely a meaning in the whole of Starlight One. But let me know what you think. Let us know what you think. It's us being free, and also all the songs are messages, you know. I was actually just writing a little introduction today, and it was like I ended up just saying, you know, like music and sort of like the art thing, that's they're the languages that we use to be able to get close to you, you know. We want to tell you something in a way that helps us get close, because all of this is all about you and I, and I mean you and all of the people, our community.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing better in life than bringing everyone together. And music's like the siren, but not to your death, the siren to love, the siren to community, the call to celebration. It's about sharing and looking after each other and holding each other up and laughing and crying together and just be and not feeling like you're on your own, you know. And that's the main thing. And that, for me, is where this is why I think music is the heartbeat, because I really, really think it's such a beautiful language, which I think has been really devalued of late, of lots of late. And another reason why we've chosen to come off streaming, because it's just like a throwaway, you know, you can just swipe through, listen to 5-10 seconds and then you're off. It's like, well, no, that's not what we're about. We're bespoke bakers. So therefore, if, you know, if anyone wants to, the people who love the music and respect it and actually derive nutrition from it as well, life nutrition. This is the music, we're making music for you because it's the language that we're giving you. And hopefully it becomes a part of the soundtrack to your life. And anyway, so there you go. I've went off on one, but also it's just is. I'm very thoughtful today because obviously it's my birthday tomorrow, and sometimes you just take a little bit of time. It just on these rites of passage, you know, like a birthday or, you know, a christening or a wedding or something. You know, you tend to just take stock, don't you, for a little bit, and be grateful for the things that you've got, and just kind of work out again why it is that you do. The things that you do.
That you do, yeah. Well, I think just going back to the record again, what you were saying about, you know, the way that the album is, it's meant to be listened to in two parts. It's meant to be listened like an LP. And that is why we're not putting any tracks that are actually up. You can't buy an individual track. You've got to buy the record. There are some that you can download to listen to now, but it's meant to be listened to in two sides.
Yeah.
And you can subscribe now on Bandcamp, where for £35 a year, you can actually get everything that we've ever done, ever downloaded and recorded and streamable, including the new album and the single and everything else. But included in that subscription is a lot of stuff that is not available anywhere else.
Yeah. And we've got the vinyl masters.
Well, indeed. And when the album comes out on the 1st of September, the vinyl masters will be available, so you'll be able to listen digitally to the vinyl masters in two sides.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I did a blog last week on music that I've missed, because while we've been doing all this shenanigans of mixing and recording and the mixing, you know, it was 3 weeks and it was very intense. And every day I normally listen to music while I take the girls out, you know, our two Labradors, and listen to completely new music if I can. And I've been catching up. And one album that's featured in this blog on vibes.star-campbell.com is something by Paul Simon, Seven Psalms, his new record, which is one track. It's 33 minutes of beautiful music with fantastic lyrics, and that's how he wanted it to be listened to, and that's how we want Starlight One to be listened to. I fucking love New Order. I love them, love them, love them. True Faith released a single on the 20th of July 1987 on Factory Records. It was the first New Order single since their debut song Ceremony to be issued in the UK as two separate 12-inch singles.
Oh, the era of 12 inches.
Well, Blue Monday, of course, which is their biggest song, was the biggest selling 12-inch of all time, and quite rightly so, because they fused this post-punk thing and all that with dance music. You know, they basically owned the Hacienda, because Factory Records, which they were signed to, had no money at all. Tony Wilson was a spendthrift. He used to spend everything, and it was, but you know, what a scene. It was a great scene. I was involved with Hacienda a lot, so I know these guys personally.
You put the Last Sound System in.
I did indeed, yeah. I was not responsible for it, but I was on the team that put it all together and designed it and put it in, which is really great. Through Wigwam again, just talking about Wigwam Acoustics.
Wiggers.
Yeah, and that, you know, so, you know, I know Peter Hook. And, you know, Bernard Sumner, he can't sing, he can't play guitar, but I don't know what he's got, but he's got it. He's got that thing, you know?
Yeah.
He looks miserable. He sounds miserable, but it's just fantastic. I just love it. And the thing about this is that I just love the production. I know it's very, you know, that sort of 80s thing going on, but I just love it, love it, love it. And it's, you know, the studio, AdVision, where they recorded it, it featured...
Go on.
All right, it featured, yeah, it featured an old SSL board with big old Uri Timeline monitors. And when I went down to a rehearsal room once and I saw the banks of Octave Voitre 8, Voitre, French synthesizers, Yamaha DX5 and Akai S9000, there were banks of this shit. It was everywhere.
You're talking gobbledygook. Technology, yeah. Gooky.
But it was just lots of
gear.
Just gear for synthesizers and stuff. But the most important thing that they had in the rehearsal studio was the decision button. And at the coffee table, they had this button, right, that if they used to fall out or they didn't know what to do next, whether to put a chorus in or a verse or a middle eight or whatever, they used to hit this button and it used to say yes, no, or maybe. And that's, it was like when he's old school.
Was it a button thing?
Yeah, it was like a thing you hit. And it came up with electronic. Yeah, yes, no, or maybe. That's right. And that's how they used to write the songs. So
that's really crazy. Yeah. I used to have a button that went, that was bullshit. Or, you know, but bullshit. this was analog, was it? It was just like.
Oh, yeah. It was just, well,
not one of those balls that you shake.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Just a button they used to hit. And that's how they used to write the songs.
And I've got to say as well, this great stories, by the way, you can't read about that. Well, you might be able to, but I love the fact that you were there. It's a bit smelly, lovely, really great, you know, because you know that you've been a part. You've been in the movie, as it were.
I was indeed in the movie, very much so. Yeah.
And also, I've got to say, well done, Gillian, because it was Gillian Gilbert who played keyboards, changed it all up. I didn't know until like 2 minutes ago that she's married to Stephen Morris.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The drummer.
So, Gillian, the concentration on the electronic instrument allowed the band to put the spectre of Joy Division to the side and follow the influences of the likes of Kraftwerk and David Bowie's Berlin Trilogy closer than ever before. So having Gillian in the band changed it all up. Government, and you can understand that. You can feel it.
Totally.
And girl power.
You know, and that's it. And Hooky's bass playing, because he never plays sort of lower than like the seventh fret anyway. It's all do-do-do-do-do. He's sort of the lead guitar player.
Well, he
in a very
plays
odd
with
way.
His legs about 2 meters apart.
He does.
He takes the position.
Anyway, I
saw him at Traffic Cricket Ground, actually, they were playing, and it was just like, it was great. I mean, what a load of characters, eh? And they, as you say, they've definitely got it.
Totally. And we've actually got a limited edition signed copy, numbered copy of Substance, which is their singles thing, which were given to me by the band. I'm very honoured to have it. And we do put it on occasionally, and it sounds just great on vinyl. It really does. You know, sadly, they fell out and Hooky left in 2007 and stuff. But, you know, they're still really, really, really cool band, and I still love them. And the secret is that... At my workout, I have this.
You do?
We have an elliptical trainer at home. We've been going to the gym recently. We have an elliptical trainer at well. And this is on my playlist for my fitness regime.
Mm-hmm.
The third track from their fourth studio album, The Seldom Seen Kid, released in the UK by Fiction Records on the 17th of March in 2008. God, seems like yesterday. And on the 22nd of April by Geffen Records in the United States. It entered the charts at number 5 in the UK in the album's charts and won the esteemed Mercury Prize in 2008, alongside the Brit Award for Best British Group in 2009. Elbow.
Yep, from Bury.
Bury, Manchester.
Where we are doing our gig
Friday,
at the Met.
6th of October.
Yeah, so we're going to be there. Multimedia, it's going to be sensational. We're going to
Bury,
be
what's
really
so special about Bury? Why
Robert
were you born
Peel
there?
Came from Bury.
It did.
The Peel is the start of the world's police force. He
yes.
was the first...
There's a tower.
Vented, yeah, and the Peel Tower on the hill in Holcombe Hill. Ramsbottom, where I sort
that's
of hail
a real
from,
place,
really.
By the way.
It
Ramsbottom,
is, yeah. Which
is
that's where
feet.
It is, I said, about a metre from its head, and that's where Ramsbottom is.
I thought
is.
It was made up. I think I've said this before on the show, but it was like... I've been down that hill, by the way. I've been up to Peel Tower,
and
I've... You can go down, like, just sit down and slide down
through
the
you
fern.
Do that. Yeah,
I ripped the hole in the arse of my jeans doing it, but it was great fun.
It was snowing. When it's snowing, you've got the sled and all that. Yeah.
Bury. I mean, it's an unusual place. There's something there, though.
Black puddings. That's where, you know, that's like a blood sausage in Portuguese terminology.
And also my mate Martin Isherwood, doctor now, who's the head of music at LIPPA, Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts. And I went to uni at the same time with Martin, and he was born in Bury, along with his, I think he's got five, six, seven sisters or something.
Seven sisters?
Well, as in like a big family who were all really, really, really cool. But see, Bury... And there's a really good record shop there, Wax and Beans.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we're hoping, because we were chatting to them last time a couple of years ago, we're hoping to sort of, we're going to talk to Ben, do something special.
Well, my first single I could put out with Whitefire was put out by Vibes Records in Bury, yeah.
And no,
very true, yeah. And, of course, now our blog is called Vibes. Anyway, let's get back to Elbow, who now have the keys to the town, I think, so they can drive sheep across the bridge over the River Owell.
Without getting a parking ticket or a...
Yeah, but that fantastic band, as I say, they're all from Britain. And, again, I don't know these guys at all, no connection at all, except that... is it Tom Knott who's got something to do with I Am Clute? And I Am Clute, of course.
That's right.
And
Tom was at
Salford.
So, yeah. We know Tom.
And there's a little bit of a connection.
There's a few people we know that know the guys from Elbow. So Paul Husband, who takes our photographs, he's photographed a guy.
A lot. Yeah.
So it's like we kind of feel we know them, but it's serendipity. It's like we'll meet when we're supposed to meet.
Yeah.
And,
sure
and also it's just about appreciating. I've got to say... Talking about appreciating the music, what a beautiful atmosphere that track had. Mirable. It just...
We kissed like we invented it. What a great line. He's a great lyricist, Garvey. There's absolutely no doubt. And he always sounds bored when he's singing and all that. But he's got... He really
you're
has,
right.
He's,
he does
he,
a
but
little.
He's got a great... The reason why... because I picked this track out of... Because we pick them between us normally, but... And the reason why I picked it is the fact that this album was self-produced. It's the first one that they produced on their own. And the keyboard player, Craig Potter, actually mixed it as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful mix. And the drum sound at the beginning is absolutely fantastic. It's a beautiful mix. You know, the strings are very big in it and it almost swamps the vocal, but it really works so well. And, you know, I've got to take my hat off. And I don't have one on tonight, unusually, but if I had one on, I'd take it off too, because it's absolutely brilliant production. You know, and the instrumentation, the guitar sound, but that drum sound at the beginning is fantastic. Very roomy, you know, with that big kick drum. Beautiful. Beautiful.
But it makes you feel though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, when you look at a painting and you have a feeling about it, or there's a moment when you look in someone's eyes and there's a feeling, that song is so emotive. It really, it's just quite simply quite beautiful.
Doves and Pounding. But unfortunately, that's the end of the show.
Whoa, it's gone quick tonight. It's birthdays. It always come around a bit quick, but I'm always grateful to have one. So don't forget, if you come and see us on tour, look at starlight-campbell.com. Check out our dates if you're in the UK. And let's come and hang out together and have a real lovely night of music. And our new single, Saving Me, is released from Starlight One. And we'll see you next week. Lots of love.